You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is the Love That Album Compilation Edition, covering soundtracks, tribute albums, best ofs, box sets, and more. Ever get the feeling you've been cheated? Eric Reanimator here, back with another bonus edition of Love That Album Compilation Exploration and Rumination. This time around, I'm going to be talking about two things. The first is going to be Rip It Up and Start Again, a post-punk compilation that goes along with a book, and the second being the Stage Dive into the Oldies compilation, which covers a lot of second wave LA and San Francisco punk. Starting off with Rip It Up and Start Again. The compilation is actually a companion to the book of the same title by Simon Reynolds. I believe I bought this when I was in Sweden, and I think I got the compilation there as well. I'll be honest, I'm not the world's biggest post-punk fan. Now let me stop here and talk a little bit about post-punk. So in the UK, after the initial wave of what we consider punk rock, meaning mainly the Sex Pistols, you had a second wave that was referred to as post-punk. But that's actually not quite true, because really what happened is punk split into multiple factions just as it did in the States. In the UK, you had Oi! And street punk, which was the more loud, fast, out-of-control, working-class kind of music. And then you had post-punk, which was definitely the more arty, more refined, and more skilled take on punk. And in a lot of ways, what was happening was people that had been in the initial spat of punk bands had developed their musical chops, had developed their voices, had heard other musical influences, and were starting to incorporate them into their sounds. They were realizing that their musical careers weren't going to simply be about banging on some instruments and screaming at the world. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I do appreciate that. But as time goes on, you want acts that are going to grow. You want people that are going to do something besides play their oldies at the casino for a handful of their peers. You want to hear, or at least I want to hear, them talk about what's real to them at that moment, what they're going through, what they're seeing, and to use their skills and their chops to produce something that is, if not contemporary, at least in line with some kind of musical growth. So the book, Rip It Up and Start Again, which I did read, and I think it's okay. As I said, this post-punk scene really isn't my cup of tea, but it's something that I definitely wanted to know about. It's worth looking at if you're a fan of the kind of bands that fell into the post-punk scene. Let me stop here and say that there's actually a really good documentary on YouTube called Punk Britannica from the BBC. It's in three sections. and one of those sections does talk about the post-punk scene in the UK. Basically, what I got from the book was the idea that a lot of the music that was part of the post-punk scene developed into what we think of now as alternative music. A lot of these bands and acts became MTV darlings in the 80s. They were part of the quote-unquote college rock scene in the late 80s. And as the 90s wore on, they were incorporated into the alternative scene. Bands like The Associates, Cabaret Voltaire, The Fall, Human League, The Raincoats, Susie and the Banshees, all of these bands are spoken about in the book and covered in the compilation. There are some American bands on this compilation. The B-52s, who we are listening to now, and Devo both contribute tracks. Let's go ahead and sample some of these tunes. Sample of Cabaret Voltaire, The Slits, The Raincoats, and now this is actually the Human League. One of the things that I do notice about a lot of the bands covered on this compilation is that women play a role in them much more than they would in a lot of the more loud, fast, out of control, traditional sounding punk stuff that came at the same time. There's also a lot more primitive musicianship that still has a kind of drive and a accessibility to those who are willing to listen. And I think there is also a certain degree of punk was supposed to be alienating, but once it started to fall into traditional pop songs writing structures and started becoming more accessible to the masses, that those who were making the music still wanted to push back and alienate. There's also no denying the krautrock influence that 1970s German reinventing music, or at least attempting to, idea that bands like New and Can were messing around with, and I know that was a big influence on the scene. A lot of this music is also the starting point for goth, industrial, indie rock, indie folk, all kinds of music that has waxed and waned over the decades since this music was originally released. There's also the inclusion of some roots rock elements. You have the Specials on here with their kind of punky take on reggae and ska. Obviously with the Slits, you heard that same thing going on. Some of these acts you're going to hear, Blue-Eyed Soul, at least in the vocals. You're going to hear some folk rock and even a bit of disco. was one big obvious act missing from this compilation, and that's PIL. Considering Johnny Lydon's history, I doubt that he was going to consent to having his music lumped in on this compilation with everybody else. But that's okay, because all of it's available. And the point of this compilation, I think, is more to highlight various bands that were part of the scene, and to put out there an accompaniment for the book so that you can listen and hear what the author is talking about. And in that way, it does what it should do. It's also a good way to sample these bands and to see if the post-punk scene is something that you want to check out further. All right, I'm going to take a little break here, and then we'll come back and I'll talk about stage diving to the oldies.
Out of bed at 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the Locarno. No, when my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Bouncers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I like to venture into town.
LA punk scene never got the respect it deserved, in my opinion. Some of the greatest bands of that era hailed from the City of Angels. The Ramones have been canonized. The Stooges and the MC5 are better known than they ever were. The New York Dolls, the Dead Boys, the Cramps, they all get their due. But aside from, let's say, Black Flag and the Minutemen, most of the punk bands that came out of Los Angeles don't really get the kind of credit that I've always thought they deserved. That's not to say their music isn't out there, and there's not to say that there's not fans that have heard and embraced the music of that place and time. It's just that it's been far and few between. One of the things that happened during the punk boom of the 1990s was there was actually people going back and looking at what had come before. And there were a number of compilations that came out, Old School Punk's another good one. But Stage Diving to the Oldies from 1995 is one of the best. No, you're not going to find Social Distortion or Black Flag on here. However, you will find great tracks by bands like TSOL, The Vandals, The Adolescents, Wasted Youth, and The Circle Jerks. The surf punk of Agent Orange right next to TSOL's experimental electronica phase. Not really electronica, more like, well, like this.
Bottom sunlight, streetlights wrapped in darkness all over.
which isn't to say there wasn't a lot of 3-minute, sub-3-minute poppy, angsty tunes sung by teenagers or people that were just out of their teenage years. Plenty of that was going on, sometimes to great effect, sometimes not to great effect. But so many great singles came out of this scene and this time. There are a number of great albums, too, but for a compilation, it's about the singles. It's about the this track epitomizes this time or this band or these guys at their best. And that's a lot of what is on this compilation. So I mentioned Agent Orange, great band, had a couple great albums. TSOL, same thing. When you start mentioning bands like The Middle Class or Shattered Faith or Wasted Youth, those bands really, they had a couple great songs and that was really it. Maybe they never were able to record, maybe they couldn't keep going. But for that moment, they were on fire and they held the raw blasting power and anger and boredom and everything else. Right there, for those 3 minutes or whatever it was, they were on. If I had to put my finger on two things about the LA punk scene that it excelled at, the other scenes, it did not. I would say one is the inclusion of Mexican Americans and Latinos. It may well have been the most integrated punk scene in the country at the time. The other would be the flyers, the show posters. I don't think anybody's ever held a candle to what they were doing in that area. Part of it is they had a lot of great graphic designers and artists that were attached to labels who were just doing mind-blowingly creative flyers for shows, many of which you can find online. Now, in the LA scene, there was also a crossover with things that were going on in San Diego and also in San Francisco. Additionally, with LA, you had not just the city of LA, but also Orange County and the surrounding, I guess what they refer to now as Southland. Had a lot of bored, sometimes wealthy, sometimes not so wealthy, middle class and upper class kids looking for something to do. You know, this is La La Land. This is the 1970s. This is the second wave of suburbia. This was supposed to be great, but there were so many dark things going on. And a lot of the music reflected that. Reflected it lyrically, and not only with anger, but oftentimes with a lot of humor. A lot of dark humor, but a lot of humor. This was also a scene that was actively persecuted by the police, the Los Angeles Police Department, notoriously went after punk rockers. Now, I'm not going to say punk rockers were popular anywhere else in the country and that they didn't come under the scrutiny of local law enforcement, but there was this extra push in L.A. as if punk was this social evil that needed to be stamped out. Also, with Hollywood there, you had this weird thing with NBC television where punk rock was public enemy number one. They had a number of television programs where punk rock was implicated in criminal activity, including Quincy MD, which was about a medical examiner, and there's the infamous punk episode of Chips in which disco is shown to be the music the kids should be listening to and getting down to, while punk is shown as this evil, awful thing. This is also the scene that gives us Penelope Spheres' films Suburbia and Decline of the Western Civilization. Several of the bands on this compilation are featured in one or both of those. Repo Man was also largely born out of this scene. As with any compilation that covers a time and a place, there's always going to be some bands missing. But what we're left with on Stage Diving to the Oldies is a solid set of classic punk tunes, some well-known, some not so well-known, but well worth checking out. So I'm going to wrap this up. If you guys have comments, thoughts, questions, anything, we're over there on the Facebook page for Love That Album. So come by and tell me what you think. Tell Morris what you think. If you got compilations that you want to bring to my attention, you want to ask about, feedback was always appreciated. I'm not sure when this episode's going to go up, but hopefully it will be between regular episodes of Love That Album. So check that out. Also, make sure you're checking out the See Here podcast and the List Music podcast. And hopefully in the not-too-distant future, we'll all be able to add the Feed My Ears podcast to our rotation of regular listens. It's Eric Reanimator. Thank you all for listening, and I'll catch you all later.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.